us as we are. See us and we're holy. In this shall we shall ever be holy ourselves.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Musician, writer, producer, and one of our favorite guests, Aaron McKeown, will return to the stage at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs, New York tomorrow night for an LGBTQ Pride Night concert with opener Crystal Rose. Aaron McKeown, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Hey, it's so good to be here.
So you are playing a big Pride Night concert at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs. Can you tell me how this concert came about, how you were approached to do it?
Well, I was just, I'm always looking for a chance to get back to Cafe Lena because it's just been such a staple for me over the years. And of course, it's super historic. And so I just contacted them a few months ago to ask what they had going on in June. And actually, Sarah said, you know, we're thinking about starting a Pride series. Would you be interested in being the first person? And that sounds great. And I'm always happy to connect my usual stuff with the extra gay stuff.
Do you like designated Pride events? Do they work for you?
I mean, they work for me. I don't do anything different. That's my sort of statement around it. I mean, I certainly, maybe a Cafe Lena will speak more directly or connect my songs more directly or bring out some of the themes in them that feel more related to Pride, but the actual music that I play and what I do doesn't change whether it's Pride Month or not. And that's, that's a real achievement for me in my own personal journey as far as, you know, where I came from with feeling about Pride when I was growing up to where I am now many years later. And, you know, I think that there's so much to be gained by doing these sort of Pride Month things. I mean, it's like marketing. You just never know. Sometimes people have to hear something. I heard people have to hear an ad 12 times before they do anything about it. So that's the world we live in. And there's plenty of people who do not think that LGBTQ folks are equal. And so we just have to keep going. I mean, this year's special because it's 50 years of Stonewall, and that's worth remembering, especially because it also causes us to remember what came before Stonewall.
Your opener at the concert is Crystal Rose. Did you select her or was she chosen by Lena, Cafe Lena?
She was chosen by Cafe Lena. She's a local singer-songwriter and a good match. And I'm always really happy to share a night with a local person.
When you play at Cafe Lena on the 20th, do you know yet what you will be playing, or will you build your set list as you get a little bit closer?
I probably will build it as it gets closer, usually 5 minutes before I go on. I usually make it. I keep like a what I call like a pull list, you know, before I start a set of dates, you know, so I'd made one in January and I'll make one for the summer, and I'll probably pull like 40 songs from my now. And I have like 200 songs from over the years. So I'll probably go through all of those and make this like pull list of things, and I put them in little categories. So there'll be something that's like stuff from musicals. There will be songs that are cover songs. There'll be songs that are piano songs. There'll be songs that I consider like back catalog songs, which are just, you know, old favorites of mine and the audience. There's usually 5 or 6 songs that I sort of put under a category called Always, and they're generally like my newest songs. And so every show will have those 5 or 6 songs, and then the other 15 or so that I'll play will come from any of those other chunks. But I don't usually put it together till right before I play. But like I said, you know, a lot of my songs have ways that they are adjacent to queer life or describing queer life. And so it's not so much pulling a Pride set list as it is how I may set up the song or talk about them in relation to it being a specific Pride night. I have a few things in June that are specifically in celebration of Pride Month. So that'll be on my mind.
You do play guitar and piano. When you write a song, how do you know which instrument it will be for, or are they interchangeable? I know you also have songs where you have your guitar on your back, you play piano for part of it, and then flip around your guitar and play that too.
Oh yeah, no, that's just like such a fun parlor trick. Thank you for reminding me about that, because maybe I'll put that in the pull list for this summer, because I forgot about. Yeah, there's a song that I wrote a few years ago called That's Just What Happened. That was a song about some spiritual experiences I had in New Orleans. And in order to recreate what we did in the studio, yes, it required the juggling trick of me going from the piano to the guitar and then back again. So thanks for that reminder. When I'm writing a song, it generally starts on the piano or the computer. It's been that way for a number of years. But lately, especially this year, as I've been working on new projects, I've been trying to challenge myself to go back to the roots of it, which is no computer in front of me, just an acoustic guitar and a piece of paper. And it's really interesting. I think the songs are different when I do it that way. The computer songs and the piano songs feel to me a little more structural and more composed and more for other instruments. And when I write on the guitar, I really am imagining playing something by myself.
You wrote, and I haven't congratulated you other than by email on this yet, but you wrote a musical with a book by Chiara Allegri-Hudiz, Miss You Like Hell, which opened off-Broadway at the Public last year, and it was nominated for 5 Drama Desk Awards, and the Wall Street Journal named it the best musical of 2018. Congratulations. We had talked about it when it was in development, and then it went all the way to the public. What was that like?
I know, it's cool, right? it's been such a cool experience. Now we're a year past when it closed, and it's time to start thinking about new things, which I have been. But the experience was really amazing. I don't think I was ready. And amazing doesn't mean every part of it was great. amazing means that it was a very full experience. I don't think I was ready for the type of scrutiny that comes with having a new musical in the Newman Theater at the Public, which is an extremely historic room that, had a chorus line and Hair in it, as well as more contemporary things like Fun Home and Hamilton. And here we were stepping into that lineage, for better or for worse. There's nothing equivalent in any other part of my career that I've ever experienced that's equivalent to theater reviews. And, I would say that was pretty bad experience. Folks can go and read what people wrote about our show, which I think is very different than the experience of the people who saw our show just as audience members. And I don't feel like I need to be more diplomatic than that about it. That's just how I feel. But there's no equivalent in any other creative part of my life of the power of one person's thoughts. So I really, really hope that that's something that can change going forward. And at the same time, I had an incredible partner in Chiara Hudiz and our director, Lear de Bessonet, and our choreographer, Danny Mefford. And the four of us really created something I feel proud of. And it challenged all my skills. I became a playwright in that process. I stretched my skills as a composer. I needed all my skills as a record producer and arranger. And I had to really learn to read and write music in that whole process. I was okay at it before, but it was necessary for me to get way better at it. So it's hard to say anything except that it was pretty incredible and pretty large experience.
You're writing the book Music and Lyrics for a new musical called Terrarium Behavior. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. It's again, like, I love a challenge, right? I love trying to do things that are really difficult for me. And I've never written a play before. But like I said, it's almost like I went to graduate school for 7 years to get to sit next to a playwright of the caliber of Chiara Hudiz and watch her work and be able to work with her. And it's given me the confidence and the curiosity to see if I can create a world from the ground up. So Terrarium Behavior is a story about gender and power in the workplace. And it also talks a lot about this, I think, false dichotomy between biological sex and gender. And there's more to say about that, but that's sort of the world it's living in inside a terrarium.
In addition to that new musical, what else are you working on right now that you are willing to tell us about?
Oh, I'm always willing. I don't mind at all. I am working on a new singer-songwriter record right now that involves co-writing with some of my heroes. So I'll be doing those songs throughout the summer, and then I hope to record it either late this year or early next year. And I haven't made a singer-songwriter record, a full one, in a really, really long time. So it's been really exciting to get back in touch with that kind of songwriting again, this idea of maybe sitting down just with my guitar and a piece of paper and somebody else and making songs together. So we're doing that. Terrarium Behavior is in its second draft right now. I hope to get another reading of it next year. And then I have my day job, my quote unquote day job, which is, you know, touring around. And so that's pretty much my fall. Miss You Like Hell has gotten licensed, and it's happening all over the country. There's a couple this year, and then there's a bunch of them in 2020. And as best I can, I'm trying to go visit all of them and just be available as a resource for the people who are doing this show. So this summer I'll be going to Indianapolis, this fall Denver, Baltimore, next year is Seattle and St. Louis and Rhode Island, and I have to look at the list. It's really incredible.
It must be amazing to see it. I mean, it's not like your music hasn't been distributed before, but this specific thing, to see other people put it on their backs and mount it must be, I mean, I know you haven't seen it yet, but imagining it must be pretty incredible.
Well, there was one in Boston in January, and it was really incredible. I mean, it's true that there's been, obviously, like, my music has been disseminated in various ways for many years, and it's always really cool to hear someone say, like, oh, I got this CD of yours in France in 1999, and it's been really important to me. But this is definitely different. And, for all these years that I've been making this music, in order for someone to hear my music, I have had to be part of it. I've either had to be singing it digitally, or I've had to be in the room doing it. So the idea that new folks are able to do it and I don't have to be there is pretty exciting to me and pretty new. And of course, it's always this great opportunity for all these different artists to put their stamp on it. The way that I like to write music has always been like a framework, a set of instructions, and lots of room for artists to add their own flavor to stuff. And what I've heard so far, just from the production in Boston and then folks who are starting to sing these songs and cover them and tag me on the internet when they do it, is that there's really nice opportunities for people to put their own, like, sass on things. And that's been really, really exciting.
We should mention the Miss You Like Hellcast recording is available if anybody wants to seek that out. In the few minutes that we have left, I'm hoping that you will play a song for us.
Yeah, I'm going to play you a little love song that is a queer love song appropriate for Pride Month. And this one is called Sugar in the Pie. Love me sweet like a sugar in a pie. Kiss me deep with a dreamy little sigh. Fill up my cheeks, it smiles so I cannot tell a lie. Never in doubt, you know I love you, my oh my. Hold my hand on sunny days or blue. Solve my puzzle, you don't need a clue. Show me your heart, it's true if I forget I ever knew. You are my clearest view, oh, you will see me through. Caught in the worst of weather is a lovely pleasure with you. Swimming in seas and never was our style together, skipping school. Birds of a queerest feather, you're my extra measure. Break the rules, break the rules. Love me sweet like a sugar in a pie. Don't leave my hips, no matter what I try. My lips are yours till dying, and I do not wonder why.
Erin McKeown performing Sugar in the Pie for us. It was beautiful. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Erin will play an LGBTQ Pride Night with Erin McKeown opener Crystal Rose at Cafe Lena on the 20th at 7 p.m. Cafe Lena, of course, is in Saratoga Springs. ErinMcKeown.com or CafeLena.org for more information. It is always wonderful to catch up with you, Erin, and I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Once more, Erin McKeown will play a Pride Night concert at Cafe Lena tomorrow night at 7 p.m. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.